I'd like to turn your attention this morning to the book of James, chapter 1, and it's a pretty familiar verse or passage of scripture that's on my mind this morning. Book of James, chapter 1, and we'll read from verse maybe 21 down through about verse 25, and then go back and focus in on a thought that he presents in verse 23. James writes, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass or mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." In this section of Scripture, the Spirit of God inspires James to write and give us a metaphor for the Word of God as a mirror, a glass, a looking glass. Any man be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, his life unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. You were to hold up a mirror and see your reflection in the looking glass. And then in verse 25 he says, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," talking there, I believe, referring to the Scripture, the Word of God, "and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." You know, there's a lot of ways that the Scripture is a mirror to us. It's a looking glass. Every time I read this portion of Scripture, I think about that Disney movie, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, where the queen stands before the mirror and says, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all?" I often think about what my mirror would say if it could talk. What would your mirror say if it could talk? I know what mine would say. "Oh my goodness, you again?" Not you again. What would your mirror... You know, our mirrors in our houses, they have a message, don't they? We look in that mirror for information about ourselves. We look in that mirror to see ourselves, and mirrors are brutally honest, aren't they? They don't sugarcoat anything. They don't try to make it look better than it does. They're objective truth, aren't they? Well, the Bible is like that to us. We look in the Bible, in Scripture, and we see ourselves, or we ought to be able to see ourselves in Scripture. You know, the Bible is even a mirror when it comes to eternal truth and eternal doctrine. We can see a picture of ourselves by nature. When we look in Scripture, we can see what we were aside from the Lord Jesus Christ, dead in trespasses and in sins. How do you know? How do How do you know that you were at one time dead in trespasses and in sins? How can you see? You haven't been able to see yourself as a debauched, depraved, Savior needing sinner? How do you see yourself that way? I'll tell you how we see ourselves that way. It's because the looking glass informs us of how we were outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look in this looking glass and we see in Ephesians chapter 2, where it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the children which now worketh in the spirit which now worketh in the children of disobedience, and were by nature." I think I skipped a little bit of that. I could quote that. If I wasn't in front of a group of people, I could quote that back. And every time I get in front of a group of church people, I have to always turn to it and get it right. Gives us a good description, though, there in Ephesians chapter 2, of what we look like. When we look in the perfect law of liberty and the Word of God, we can see what we are or what we were aside from the Lord Jesus Christ, among whom we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. That's what we look like outside of the Lord Jesus. You know, the Bible tells us about our nature, that there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible tells us about us aside of Christ, that there is none that doeth good, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a rather ugly picture that the prophet Ezekiel writes about in Ezekiel chapter 16, which I believe is a good picture of God's people outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "And as for thy nativity, in the day when thou was born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water." That's a picture of man by nature, unwashed. "Thou was not salted at all or swaddled. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion on thee, but thou was cast off, cast out in the open field, to the loathing of thy person, and in the day that thou wast born." This is the phrase that I want to read all that to get this phrase. "And when I passed by thee," the Lord said, "when I passed by thee in that natural state, in that condition of nature, when I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood." You know, I hear a lot of folks, my good friends, say that when the Lord looks down upon people, upon earth, upon the men of the earth, that he sees the good that they will do. Or he sees some good actions or some faith that maybe that they will have, and based on the things that God sees in man, he chooses them. That's not what God saw here, is it? He saw a people polluted, dead in trespasses and sins, unrighteous, debauched, and depraved. That's what we see by nature when we look into the perfect law of liberty. It's not a pretty picture, is it? But you know, we not only get that scene, we not only see that image, we not only see that reflection of what we are outside of Christ, we look into this perfect law of liberty and we see what we are in Christ. We see that we're washed. We see that we're sanctified. We see that we're redeemed. I love that before and after that Ephesians chapter 2, where it says there that by nature we walk according to the course of this world, according to the lust of our own flesh. And then the very next verse says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith that great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin hath quickened us together in him, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. How? In Christ. Well, I love that song that we sang this morning. In Christ alone we sit washed and clean and redeemed and sanctified. There's another before and after picture that the scripture gives us over in Titus, where he talks there about in times past, we ourselves were sometimes foolish. This is what we look like by nature. Foolish, disobedient, deceit. You know, you don't have to teach a child to be foolish and disobedient, do you? You know why you don't have to teach us? I know, because we have three of them. We didn't have to teach them to be foolish, and we didn't have to teach them to be disobedient. You know where they got that from? Their mom. No, they got that from their daddy. They got that by nature. They're born with that, aren't they? We, who were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's not a pretty picture. That's not a pretty reflection of us by nature. Aren't you glad that the Bible doesn't stop there? The next verse says, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we had done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's prettier picture there, isn't it? We can look into the perfect law of liberty and not only see what we were without Christ, but we can see what we are in Christ, redeemed, washed, sanctified, saved. You know what's special about this book, though? This looking glass not only shows us what we were, not only shows us what we are, but this is a special looking glass because it shows us a glimpse of what one day we will be. Read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and that chapter where it has to do with the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a long chapter. I'm just after about two verses. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. It's a mystery. I can't explain it. Can you? I show you a mystery. He says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In other words, there's going to be some folks in the earth when the Lord comes back. There's going to be some folks living. We shall not all sleep. Not every human being is going to die before the Lord comes back. But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. You know, these bodies that we're living in are corruptible. They're mortal. They're decaying. Listen, even as we speak, your body is different right now than it was when you came in the door this morning. And so it's such a slow decline that you can't see it, but your body is in a state of decay and wearing out and wearing down. But this scripture gives us a glimpse of a reflection that we will one day be like. We shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So that we corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, as it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. This mortal and corruptible is going to put on immortality and incorruption. Now, that's a mystery. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I hope it looks better than what it does now, don't you? I love that picture that he gives us over in Philippians, where he talks about in the same vein of thought, where he says our conversation is in heaven. That common word conversation there means citizenship. It's where we belong. We're not citizens of this world. We belong to a better country. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Now, I don't know what that's going to be like, but it's going to be pretty. It's going to be prettier than it is now. It's going to be glorious. There'll be no wrinkles. There'll be no gray hair. I teach 8th grade in middle school, and every year, my hair gets a little more gray. And my 8th graders ask me, I don't know if you have gray hair. Why do you have gray hair? I tell them it's marriage and middle school. Middle school will do it. But one day, I don't know what I'm going to look like. One day I won't have arthritis. I can see myself without arthritis. One day I'll see myself with no impurities, with no vileness. I'll be fashioned like unto His glorious body. I'm looking for that day, aren't you? We can see a glimpse of that. How do we know that? By looking in the mirror. Look in the mirror and we see that. Well, James, I don't think had necessarily all of that in consideration. I think that James, when he said, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," I think we can also see in a practical way our lives in a practical sense, looking in the perfect law of liberty. You know, the Bible, as it uses this analogy of a mirror for the Scripture, a mirror, it just shows you what you look like. It just shows you the blatant, honest, unadulterated truth. But it doesn't change anything about it. It doesn't change anything about what you're looking at. That mirror, in and of itself, can't change anything. When we look into the perfect law of liberty, when we consider that in an eternal sense, it's not the Word of God that saves us eternally. It's not the Word of God that washes us eternally. It's not the Word of God that made us sinners in the first place. It's not the Word of God that's going to glorify our vile bodies. It's the Word of God that shows us that's the reflection of what we were, are, and are going to be. The Word of God doesn't save you any more than that mirror that you look at can fix your hair for you. I looked in the mirror this morning when I got up in the morning from Brother Tommy's and stumbled into the bathroom, and I looked in the mirror, and obviously, I told this man this morning, I sweat real hard on this side because my hair was sticking straight up. But you know, that mirror didn't fix that for me. That mirror didn't do a thing. He just showed me the ugly picture of what that looked like. You see, I had to do something about it. If I wanted to come to church this morning with my hair laying down, that was not the mirror's job to do it for me. The mirror was a tool to show me what needed to be done. When I was little, I used to have a cowlick right up here on my crown. And I could look at that mirror every morning, and I'd see that cowlick, and I'd work on that thing. My daddy used to have some of you older folks may remember what wild root cream was. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. My dad used to have a cream ball that he would put on his hair that would help hold it in place. Daddy used to tell us we had Indian blood in us, the reason our hair was so crazy. I don't know if that's true, but anyway, I had a cowlick right there. And I knew it because I looked in the mirror and I saw it. The mirror didn't put it there, and the mirror didn't fix it for me, but it showed me what was there that I didn't like. And not only did it show me what was there that I didn't like, it was a tool to help me fix what I didn't like. You know, the Word of God is that mirror for our lives. When we read the Word of God, we ought to see a reflection of ourselves and the good and the bad and sometimes the ugly. We can see, you know, the mirror, it doesn't show what's not there, and it doesn't put something there that needs to be there. But it helps us to fix what we see that we don't like. It'll show us everything. It hides nothing. And it shows us how to fix what we don't like. You know, the Bible says that we have some things in our lives that we should put off. And some things in our lives that we should put on. We read those scriptures. In fact, James just told us to put off all naughtiness. You know how you know you have naughtiness? You look in the scripture, and what the scriptures can show you some. You ever been shown naughtiness in your life by the scripture? That's some things we ought to put off. We ought to put on some things. Put on the armor of God. Put on the Apostle Paul told the folks there at Rome, the church of the Romans, said, put on some things. Put on the new man. Put off the old man. And put on the new man. You know, the Bible is a perfect, truly furnisher to every good work. That mirror that you looked in this morning, it didn't just show you how to do one thing. Mirror's good for more than just one thing, isn't it? It showed me how to shave. It showed me how to fix my hair. It showed you sisters how to put on your makeup. It's a good tool for a lot of different things. You know, the Bible can be that way for our lives if we look into it and if we take heed to what it tells us. What good would that mirror have done you and me if you had looked in that mirror and not done anything about what you saw? What good would that mirror do? That mirror doesn't do us any good if we don't look in it. I know some middle schoolers who it would behoove to spend a little more time in front of a mirror and do something about what they see. Middle school is such an interesting age. Some of them have gotten to the age where they're so prim and proper, and if they have one hair out of place, which, by the way, I've got to go to the bathroom, I've got to fix my hair. And then some of them, they look like they crawled out of bed 5 minutes ago and stumbled down the hall, and hair is everywhere, and you can still see lines on their face where they slept. Some of those middle schoolers, it would help to spend a little more time looking in the mirror and doing something about what they see. And you know, it would do me a lot more good to spend more time in God's Word. And behold, you know, James, let me get back to that place, what he says. James says, if a man be a hearer of the Word, you hear the Word, but you're not a doer of the Word, he's likened to a man that beholdeth his natural face in the glass, like that face that you woke up with this morning, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth
what manner of man he was. Aren't you glad you don't have to see a reflection of yourself all day, every day? You can look in that mirror, and you can do up the best that you can with it, and you can walk away and leave it. You don't have to look at yourself all day, every day. But the man who is a hearer of the Word and not a doer of the Word is like, it would be if you and I got up tomorrow morning and looked at that face in the mirror and went on our way to work or wherever we go and did nothing about what we saw. You know, I'll tell you something else about mirrors or the reflection of our faces, of ourselves. If you and I don't spend enough time in front of the mirror, not only will we be able to tell, but other folks will be able to tell, won't they? I can tell my middle schoolers, I can see the ones who need to spend more time in front of the mirror. It becomes very obvious very quickly. And you know, it's obvious to others, maybe more obvious than what we would like to admit. It's obvious to others. When we've been in the Word of God, it's obvious. If you've been around folks who've been in God's Word for the week, it's obvious. They've been reading God's Word. I like to be around folks like that, don't you? Who their conversation betrays them, so to speak. That they've been in God's Word. I like to be around folks that way. But you know, it's easy to tell sometimes, too, in conversation. Good folks who haven't been spending time in God's Word. Sometimes that's obvious, isn't it? I know my wife knows when I haven't spent the time in God's Word when I should. It shows that I haven't been doing what I need to do to fix up what needs to be fixed. And I don't know about you, but you know, I'll say something else about a mirror. It's not a one-time fix-all thing, is it? You don't go in front of a mirror on Monday morning and get your week fixed, do you? I guarantee you, this is when you woke up this morning and looked in that mirror, that's not going to be the first day of the week, but it's not going to be the only time you look in that mirror this week. It's an ongoing thing. You know why it's an ongoing thing? Because there's constantly things about our reflection that we need to fix. And the same thing is true in our spiritual lives. There are ongoing things constantly that we need to fix. Sunday morning, reading the Bible is a good thing on Sunday morning. But that's not enough for the week, is it? I need to spend time looking in the looking glass of God's Word daily and working on my inner man daily, ongoingly, because it's my nature for things to get out of whack every day. And you know something else about a mirror? The more you look at it, the more you see. The longer you behold that face in the mirror, the more you're going to see that maybe it's painful to look at. in the mirror in the bathroom. Sometimes that's a painful thing to me to look in that mirror. The more I look at it, the more it shows me about the more I need to fix myself up. You know, the Word of God is that way. The more we look at it, the more it's going to show us the good, bad, and the ugly. You know, that mirror not only shows... I'm not trying to say that there's things in your life that need... Well, there are things in your life that need to be fixed. I know that because you're a human being. But I'm not talking down from this pulpit saying you need to go out and fix all the things in your life. The Word of God, that just like that mirror, it shows us things that don't need to be fixed as much. I have a little more hair than some folks in the congregation of Brother Tommy that I won't mention by name. But what that means for me and Brother Tommy is that he doesn't have to, that's something that the mirror doesn't tell him that he needs to fix. He can look in that mirror. Every time he looks in that mirror, it just takes him a jiffy to run his hands through his little bit of hair that he had, and he's good to go. It takes me longer. And I'll tell you why it takes me longer. Because I have a little bit more of it, and because, I've already told you, by nature, my hair is stubborn. And you know, by nature, our will is stubborn, isn't it? Our inner man is stubborn. It'll show us, the Bible will show us, the things that maybe we don't struggle with. Maybe we don't need to fix things. You know, I've never been tempted. Well, I take that back. I'll tell you a story about my childhood. There was one time that I stole a pack of gum. We went in the store, and I asked Mom if she'd buy me a pack of gum. And she said no. So I decided that I wanted that gum bad enough that Mama didn't have to buy it. He'd go home with me anyway. And when Mama found out about it, we went back to the store, and I had to give the manager that pack of gum and apologize for stealing that pack of gum. You know, I've never struggled with stealing since. I've never wanted to steal a thing since. That cured me. I don't struggle with that, is what I'm saying. I can look in the Word of God, and when it says, when it talks about thou shalt not steal, I don't have that weakness. I can look in that, and I can look at that reflection, and I don't see that thing of me. But there are plenty of things that I do see that I need to fix. I see the good. I see the not so good. And the more I look, the more ugly I see that I know need to be fixed to present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. The more you look, the more you see, and not only that, the closer you get, the better you see. You know, you ever read the Word of God sometimes, and maybe you don't understand what it says? And so you just kind of glaze over it, and I'll come back to that another time. I tell you, I've been reading lately in some of those Old Testament prophets of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and I tell you what, that's some thick water to try to tread through. Some things in there that I don't understand. Well, it would do me good to look a little closer and to try to understand it a little bit closer, a little better. Because if I don't understand what that mirror is showing me, I won't know how to fix it. I won't know what to do with it. It would do us better to look a little closer into the Word of God, to better apply it to our daily lives. Sometimes Dana, I'll see her in the mirror when she's putting on her mascara. She gets that close to that mirror to put on her mascara. I guess she don't want to dot herself in the eye with that thing. She wants to make sure nothing's glopping up and all the lashes are covered. Clearly, I don't know. I don't use mascara. But I do remember this. When I was a teenager and had acne, I would go to the grocery store and I would buy Clearasil that was tinted. Had just a little bit of a tint to that Clearasil. So not only did it help clear my acne up, it helped to cover it up too. But I didn't want the boys to know that I was putting on tinted Clearasil. And so I was very careful about exactly where to apply, exactly how much, exactly where to apply that little dot of Clearasil exactly to the place that it needed to be applied to. You know, the Word of God is just that for us. The closer we get and the more we look, the better it will show us exactly the way things are and exactly how to fix it. It won't fix it for us. It does us no good if we don't apply it. It does us no good to be a hearer and not a doer. But it would be very obvious if we didn't spend any time in that mirror. And I tell you,
it'll become very obvious if we don't spend time in God's Word as well. You ever seen a bride on a wedding day that didn't spend time in the mirror? I've never seen a bride stand before a church to marry her husband for what she didn't spend a lot of time in front of a mirror. And not only her, but a lot of other folks helping her do her hair and her nails and her makeup. They're helping her in front of the mirror. They're all looking in the mirror. You know, there's an application about that. See, sometimes we need help from others to see a clear reflection and to help us. That's the Bible. James says, if any one of you be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, go to such a one in the spirit of meekness and restore that brother, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. If you had something on your face, you know, middle schoolers are quick to point out, Mr. Hadley, you got something right there. But you know what I say when they say that? They think it's funny. They think it's funny to point out to the teacher, you have something on your face and it looks funny. You know what I say? Thank you. I don't want to go around all day with something on my face. Sometimes we need help seeing things that we need to see about ourselves. That's scripture, isn't it? And we can apply that to our individual lives. We can apply that to our families. We can apply that to our church. We can look in the looking glass and see a reflection of society, where it is today, and how that measures up to God's Word. We've come a long way, haven't we? We can see how to be better fathers, better mothers, better husbands, better church members, deacons. We can see how to be better deacons. Brother Tommy, we can see how to be better pastors and preachers. How? By looking in the looking glass of God's Word. I've never saw a bride who didn't spend some time making herself presentable to her husband. As the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're the bride of Christ. As important as that wedding day is to that bride, and as many hours and as much effort as she puts toward making herself presentable to that man, how much more ought we to spend time, diligent time, in God's Word, to make ourselves presentable in our life, and in our church, in our families. Presentable to who? To Brother Tommy? No. Presentable to your heavenly husband, who is deserving of the very best that we can present. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I know a lot of middle schoolers who deceive themselves when they walk away from that mirror, but it's not as good as what they think it ought to be. For any of you be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know, the Lord is pleased when we spend time in the perfect law of liberty to work on things to make ourselves more presentable to Him, our Heavenly Father. May God bless you this morning. It's been a joy to be with you. I hope that the Lord will take these words and allow us to see who we are outside of Christ, who we are in Christ, one day what we will be, and how to apply this word to our lives that we might present ourselves in a more better way. That's not good English with this humanity. In a better way, to the glory and honor of our Heavenly Husband. God bless you, my friend.